Hey, Misfits, welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. We're your weekly podcast for all things weird and wacky, from Bigfoot and aliens to psychology and history and everything in between. We are your hosts, Emmy.
And Steve.
What have you been up to?
I actually just started a new job last week, so busy boy now, but making some more money, which is good.
Nice.
I mean, I guess it was Mother's Day this past weekend, so it was nice.
We should have done a mom's themed segment.
How is the ghost pirate baby?
Oh, she's doing really well. Yeah, she's been stealing ships and...
Nice, nice. Like, oh my goodness, what's her name? The famous female pirate.
Hold what up. Else do pirates do?
And Bonnie.
I have no idea
Sadie
who that is.
The goat. That's a weird name.
She's the goat?
Sadie the goat. But not capital G, so I think she might be a goat. I'm not going to Google it because I like to picture this lady's actually a goat.
Well, I was just thinking, like, the greatest of all time.
No, she's the third on the list, so she can't be the greatest of all time.
Oh, bummer.
I was thinking of doing pirates this week, but it's a little bit more difficult to find stuff about pirate folklore because when you do that, or mythology, you end up getting lists of, like, myths about pirates. They didn't actually go walk planks. Like, no. I want to know about, like, sea monsters and cursed treasure. Or you get the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, which is, like, not quite what I want because I'm interested in the tales that inspired it. I love Pirates of the Caribbean, like the original one.
Yeah.
The first one. Honestly, the first three are great. I haven't seen anything beyond that, so I can't really have an opinion on those. But those are fun movies. But I would like to know the legends inspired it. It's not all just fabricated. Some of it's based on stuff.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's one of those hard things to Google because there's just so much real and fake stuff out there. It's just such a big topic. So, like, you just got to find the right search terms to get the good nuggets.
Yeah, which is exactly what we need to do is when we're going to have a pirate episode at some point.
Yes.
Next week, we'll announce this a little early. We're going to have a bit of a dinosaur episode because we have Nazir Ibrahim coming on. He is a world-renowned paleontologist. Emmy actually covered his work on our Velocipaster episode. You can explain it better because you did the research, but
yeah. So if you guys were listening back then and remember it, there's this dinosaur, the Spinosaurus, who, if you were into dinosaurs when you were a kid, it's the one with the big sail on its back. Nazir was the first guy to research and figure out that the Spinosaurus was actually a water dinosaur, which is crazy. And I'm probably not doing a great job of explaining this, but we're going to ask him about it on the show and it's going to be awesome. So if you guys want to ask him any questions, you should send some questions our way on Twitter.
All your burning pirate questions.
Pirate questions.
Maybe we could ask him a pirate question. No, not actually. It'd be a waste of his time. I don't have much time with him. Just a preview of one thing I want to know is, I don't know if we're going to use this because we have a limited amount of time with him, but I just want to ask him something about what's the general consensus now? Because when we were kids, dinosaurs were all lizards, and now there's avian and non-avian. What is the consensus? Did T-Rexes have feathers or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually listened to a podcast this weekend that was talking about how T-Rexes started getting feathers, but they looked like little, like a prepubescent boy that's like growing like a beard and like doesn't have a lot of facial hair. It's like they just had like little tiny feathers sticking like out. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, like stubble feathers. So I'm excited. And also I want to ask him about, like, how do they know what color dinosaurs were?
Or I would love to know that. I think that it's a lot of guesswork, but I think there might be some pigment stuff. I'm not sure. I would love to know. Obviously, we had to ask him what his favorite dinosaur is.
Obviously. It's probably going to be something we've never heard of, but...
Or it's going to be the Spinosaurus, because we made him famous.
That's true. I mean, it's my favorite dinosaur now.
Really? It surpassed the Ankylosaur in the past couple months?
Yeah. Well, I'm just, like, such a big pterodactyl fan, too.
I do like, oh my goodness, are they the ichthyosaurs, the little guys that were the first ones with wings?
Oh, yeah.
Are those ichthyosaurs? Hold up.
I have no idea, but I know what you're talking about.
No, I'm wrong. Ichthyosaurs are the dinosaur or reptilian creatures that looked identical to dolphins, but have absolutely no relation to them.
Interesting.
I don't know what those guys are called, but they flew They're pretty cool though. Little guys, they found them in China. First ones with wings.
And pretty feathers. Sweet.
Or maybe not first ones with wings, sorry. First ones with feathers. What are you talking about this week, Emmy?
So I think that my segment is going to be interesting, but it's completely all over this. I am talking about generally missing people and the hollow earth theory.
Wow. We're going big.
Yeah.
We're going all over the place.
And there's more. I'm kind of taking you on the journey of how I found these things in the order that I found them.
So I'm going to talk about time slips, but mostly just one story, because honestly, it sounds crazy, but it's hard to find these stories because time slips are a great literary and movie tool to advance a plot. So a lot of them are just like talking about that. And honestly, a lot of them just didn't interest me. So I just found one I liked. And I was also going to talk about Chessie, the Chesapeake Bay's version of the Loch Ness Monster, but I decided to postpone that until next week. So we have a little dinosaur theme next week.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, I'm excited.
I was thinking you should also find like a dinosaur type thing. Dinosaur cryptid, dinosaur urban legend, folklore type deal. I think we can do a full-on dino episode next week.
I love that. Do that. Do you want to give some updates?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I forgot about that. So if you haven't yet, make sure to go check out our episode last week with Michael McHenry, former catcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's an incredible guy. We had so much fun with him. We're actually going to go Bigfoot hunting with him in the offseason. That's a real thing. I'm really excited for that. His wife actually DM'd us on Instagram and told us that Michael really enjoyed talking to us. He's only mentioned Bigfoot hunting like 6,000 times since he got off the call. So I think he's very serious, as are we. So I'm really excited.
Well, so is Steve, Michael. So
yeah, I know. I'm excited. It's going to be really fun. And then we have a fan art page on our website. You guys got to send us some fan art. It would be nice if you did that. Just go to our website, mysteriesandmysteries.com. You can also find our blogs and newsletter there. And we have not been doing this, so I'm just going to do it now. If you guys want to support the show, consider buying us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com. It helps us a lot. Link will be in the bio. It's cool to do that. Another way to help us is subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us It's free. It's completely free. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast.
All right. Shall we jump in?
Yeah, let's jump on in. All right, and we're back. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about a single time slip story that I found interesting. Like I said, there actually are a ton of them out of, oh my goodness. I didn't write this down, but name somewhere in the UK that besides like London.
Essex.
No.
In the UK?
Yeah, and like England. Like
Ireland.
In England. Fuck.
That's not even in the UK.
Oh my goodness.
Steve, we used to live in England.
Yeah, well, apparently I don't remember anything, so.
What are you trying to figure out?
Liverpool.
Oh, I've been to Liverpool.
Time slips are a paranormal event during which people on their own or as a group inexplicably travel through time by unknown means and for unknown reasons. So I guess, remember that story you told when you covered time travel a while ago?
The one about the ship?
Yeah, it was a pilot or a ship or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was like, it was the SS something.
Oh, was it a ship? I remembered it being an airplane, but honestly, it's so long ago. I think that's a good example. So this one is just titled The Vanishing Hotel. So in October of 1979, two couples were driving through France on their way to a vacation in Spain. So is G-E-O-F-F pronounced Jeff or Geoff?
I think it's Jeff.
Well, that's a poorly spelled Jeff, but whatever.
You can call him Geoff.
Geoff.
Just for fun.
Geoff and Pauline Simpson and Len and Cynthia Gisbim were looking for a place to stay near Montelimar.
Montelimar.
Montelimar. Montelimar. And they stopped at the Ibs Motel. Okay, hold up. I had no idea that Paris had motels. I feel like it's an American thing. I thought that like Europe had hostels and we had motels.
Well, is it in Paris?
No, it's not in Paris. It's in just France.
Okay. I thought you were trying to figure out a place in England.
No, that was just where time slips are frequent.
Okay, gotcha.
That's a side thought. So they stopped at the Ibs Motel.
Motel.
Motel. Italian. Yeah, exactly. So they were told there were no vacancies and that they should try another place further down the road. So the couples, so I wrote the couples, which is confusing. I'm about to say the couple. The two sets of couples set off down the road and found themselves driving down a cobble street and recalled seeing an oddly old-fashioned sign for a circus. The group, the gang, the gaggle of goslings, if you will, arrived at a long two-story stone building that appeared to be an inn. Upon entering, why the fuck did I write upon entering? What a stupid way to phrase this.
Maybe you went into a time slip.
Maybe. Jesus Christ. When they entered the building, the couple felt like, I would never say upon entering. It's not my vocabulary.
You would literally never speak those words.
Why the hell did I write it like that? All right. So back on track. After entering the building, the couple found themselves in a large bar. And although the barkeeper did not speak a word of English, he was able to communicate to them that they were... that there were they were rooms. Jesus Christ. This is bad. Communicate to them that there were rooms available. I'm sorry, okay. Guys. I'm fucking up words left and right, and I cannot read for the life of me right now. So this is going to be a messy edit process. I might keep some of those things. It's kind of funny.
It's, yeah, who cares?
The couples went inside and were shown to their rooms. The windows had no glass in them, and I wrote were and I should have written had. It's just fucking me up. They had simple shutters. I wrote stutters.
Wait, so the windows had no glass?
Yeah, there's no glass in the windows. They had simple shutters. The furniture is basic. There are no telephones and no fucking pillows.
Wait. What time period are they supposed to be in?
1979.
So not super duper long ago.
Not that long ago. But can I tell you what? If I went to a hotel and they didn't have fucking pillows, I would not spend the night there. I would be like, no, give me my money back. I am not sleeping on your fucking wooden bed with no pillow.
Nope. They hadn't invented pillows yet? Like, what the fuck?
Lunatics. They're lunatics. What kind of psychopath goes to a hotel and sleeps on the wood and is like, oh, no pillow. I guess I'm just going to sleep on a wooden bed.
Wait, the bed was made out of wood too?
Yeah.
All right. What?
All right. The pillow was invented in 7000 BC. Just FYI.
Yeah. And I'm thinking like a pillow, as long as you are able to invent clothing... you can ball up a shirt and make that a pillow.
I know, but like, what psycho is going to a motel and they're like, oh, no pillows? I guess we're just going to deal with it.
So what fucking time period are they in? Like, is this like before the birth of Jesus? Everyone is just sleeping on rocks? Like what the hell? No, Steve, if Jesus had a manger, these people had fucking pillows.
Right? Like, I'm sorry. Like, we're talking about time travel here, and the most unbelievable aspect of this story is that these four people who are from 1979 thought it was acceptable for a motel not to have pillows.
Okay, Steve, and you know what the funniest part of this is? They probably didn't go into a time slip and they were just at the shittiest motel of all time.
Yeah, I know, like, right? Yeah, they were at like the shittiest fucking motel.
No, and the hotel was so bad. They're like, must have just like transcended into another time period. That's the only fucking explanation for how bad this hotel is.
No, seriously. Is there any scenario where you roll up to a motel and they're like, here's your room, there's no windows, there's no pillows, no electricity or anything? Are you like, okay, I guess this is my life now? Or are you like, no.
Yeah,
another motel.
Guess I'll just write them a bad Yelp review. Yeah, sucks.
What the fuck? Okay, we'll get back on track. But seriously,
that
like,
was, yeah. I mean, that
threw me for a loop. I don't understand. How could you do that? You're an adult too. These aren't kids. These are adults. And they're like, okay, yep, I guess we're just going to sleep on the fucking bed.
All right, let's hear what else happened.
Okay. So after they ate a meal of steak, eggs, and beer, the couples retired to bed.
That doesn't sound bad.
No, honestly, it sounds like a good meal. It's kind of weird though, because when you think of like France, you don't think of steak, beer, and eggs as your meal.
That's more like English.
Yeah, that seems very English. So the next morning at breakfast, they were surprised to see some really strangely dressed people. There's a woman in a silk evening gown carrying a dog. Quote, "It was strange," Pauline said. "It looked like she had just come in from a ball, but it was 7 in the morning. I couldn't take my eyes off her."
Interesting.
There were also 2 French policemen eating at the inn. And when the men went over to them to ask for, quote, "the best auto route to take," the policeman did not appear to be familiar with the word auto route. I mean, to be fair, if someone's like, "what's the best auto route?" I could probably figure out what they meant. But I would be like, "what the hell are you talking about, dude? Say road."
Why wouldn't it just be a road? Like, they would probably know what a road is.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the thing is, if you said road, they would have known, even if this is like Mesopotamia times. Yeah,
well, literally, but because you call it a fucking auto route.
It's probably normal police officers. Like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Literally, know? These people were just weird and just went to like a bad motel.
I know, seriously. And then the policemen, so they weren't familiar with the word, and they directed them on an old road miles out of the way. Maybe they're like, "yeah, asshole, take this fucking route. You're gonna call it
an yeah, seriously, road. Like,
may go to the auto route.
Take the auto route."
It's obnoxious. So then the couple was surprised when they paid their bills and were only charged 19 francs, or just over 2 euros for their stay, which was a 13th of the going hotel rate at the time.
That's it?
Like, yeah.
A 13th doesn't even sound like a lot.
They paid 2 euros. I mean, honestly, that's 2 euros too much for that shitty stay.
Yeah, seriously.
And they tried to pay the guy more cash. Like, there's no way this is correct. He refused to accept it. And then 2 weeks later, these psychopaths decided they wanted to stay at the same shitty motel on the way home, but it wasn't there.
It just straight up wasn't there.
Yeah, it wasn't there. And when they went to develop the film in their cameras, there's missing the negatives from the hotel.
That's pretty freaky.
Yeah, and they returned years later and never found it.
Maybe they just went on the wrong auto route.
These people seem really stupid. I don't like them.
I mean, that is pretty freaky, though.
No, it is. It is definitely freaky, but, like, who the fuck are these idiots? They're like, "oh, I want to go on the auto route. Ooh, no pillows. How quaint. Let me rest my head on a fucking wooden bench."
That kind of reminds me of, did you ever hear, you can block out our name, but had a ghost story?
No, I don't think so.
Should I tell it?
Yeah, that's go pretty for it.
Okay, so this is our friend from college, and she had this story. So I guess one of her good friends was driving. It was like a really dark night, and they were in, I want to say it was like Utah or something, like somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
She's from Wyoming.
Yeah, but this person was in Utah. So that makes sense.
Basically the same country.
The same country.
Yes. That's okay. What I intended to say, clearly.
So this girl's driving through, and she sees this other girl hitchhiking on the side of the road. And it's like raining outside, and she's like, "okay, I'll pick her up." And the girl is coming out of this motel that's bustling. Huge party. Mm-hmm. Lights are going crazy. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's having a good time. So she picks her up and they get to talking. And she notices that the girl kind of has this weird look to her and is talking kind of strange. And I can't remember all the details, but it comes out that this girl really... Her theory is that the woman she picked up was from the 1920s, okay? Based on what she was wearing and how she was talking. The woman she picked up accidentally left her jacket in the back of the car. So the next day, the girl drives back to the motel to see if she's there or can return the jacket. And the motel is complete rubble, like nothing. Yeah, and then she Googled it, and the place burned down because there was a huge party in the 1920s.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy? It gives me goosebumps every time I hear about it.
That is insane.
But she still had the jacket in the back of her car.
You could probably sell that for a lot of money if it's from the 20s.
Yeah.
A flapper jacket.
I mean, that's like one of the best ghost stories I've ever heard. I've
heard a bunch of stories like that.
Really?
I'll plug it. Our friends over at the Geesebumps podcast had an episode where they had campfire stories. There was one similar to that about, I think it was something with prom, and this guy picked up this girl, and I guess I'm butchering this story, so I'd say just go listen to it. But basic gist is this guy picks up this girl who's all like disheveled, and he gives her his jacket and drops her off at his house. And he's like, oh, I want to get my jacket. So he rolls up again and he talks to like the mother there and say, like, oh, he's like, what do you mean? My daughter died like so-and-so. And he goes to like her grave and his jacket's there. Isn't that spooky?
Oh my God.
Obviously that's probably a fake story, but those give me the heebie-jeebies, you know?
It's giving me the heebie-jeebies right now.
And I just did a horrendous job telling it.
I know.
It's so weird. That is wild, though.
I know.
That's like a one in a million thing. I guarantee we can go to that motel every night and it would never happen to us.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I want to know some smart person's theory as to why that would happen. I mean, it's probably not real, but like, I want to know.
I have no idea.
Anyways.
Yeah.
That was a good story, though.
Yeah, I actually did see something about, like, with ghosts. I don't know if I fully buy an explanation because it was on Wikipedia, and I don't really trust Wikipedia. I actually genuinely do not use Wikipedia as a source ever. But there's a carbon monoxide theory that many haunted houses have been investigated and found to contain high levels of carbon monoxide or other poisons, which can cause hallucinations. The carbon monoxide theory explains why haunted houses are mostly older houses, which are more likely to contain aging and defective appliances, and why more hauntings are reportedly in the colder months. Carbon monoxide poisoning explains many of these occurrences. I mean, sure, but how do you explain like haunted places that are outdoors?
Yeah. And like one of these stories, like we just told, like how does the girl have the jacket in the back of her car?
I think that people are skeptical about things and then they overlook certain things. Like, sure, maybe it's not true, but I don't know. It's more fun to believe.
It is.
It's not fun to be a party pooper. All right, get into your topic. You're all over the place, but I'm excited.
Mind fuck journey.
Mind freak.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
You didn't sound confident.
I was going to say something else, but then, I don't know. I didn't feel like saying it, so.
Okay.
There's something fun, but I didn't say it, so it's too late now.
Do you want to?
No, I don't. It's too awkward now.
All right. Cool.
I made the situation too awkward, so I can't.
Oh my God. Today, my niece asked me what the word awkward means, and it was really hard to explain.
Yeah, that's really hard to explain. The interaction we just had right there was awkward.
Well, I was trying to give her an example. I was like, it would be awkward if you showed up to school with your bathing suit on. And she was like, well, that would be funny. I'm like, no. It was just hard to explain.
It's really hard to explain. It's one of those things that you know it when you see it or you experience it.
Exactly. But I feel like she's too young to like know the uncomfortableness of a situation. Anyways, so diving in. So I came up with this topic because I had been seeing a lot of shit on TikTok about people who go missing in national parks. So there's a lot of TikToks out there about people hearing strange noises or hearing screams in national parks, and then they would tell the rangers, and the rangers would be like, oh, don't worry about it. We got it.
Well, it's Bigfoot. And Bigfoot screams.
I guess so. There's a lot of weird stories like that. And then there's also a lot of stories of people offering up explanations for why this happens. So I'm going to give a few examples of famous cases of people going missing in national parks, and then some of the kind of dumb explanations that people have for it. Because some of them are crazy weird.
Yeah. Some are probably like someone just made some batshit stuff up to put out TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, starting off with the basics. So, interestingly enough, the most accurate data of how many people go missing in national parks each year comes from Bigfoot hunters.
Wow. I mean, I guess they are in the parks all the time and such.
Yeah, that just shows a huge problem of a lot of these cases do not go public, or if they do, the national parks aren't announcing, oh, we've had 100 people go missing in Yosemite this year, because they just don't want people to know because they think that people won't come.
Yeah, but at the same time, wouldn't it be better for like the national park and all the animals and stuff if people didn't come? If it's supposed to be a preserve for them?
Yeah, but I mean, if
I
you're
know it's like a
like,
money thing, but at the same time, it's almost better if they're not there.
It's true. I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I think it's a money thing. And then it's also like, I think the sheriffs are elected officials, so they probably don't want to be like, oh, everybody's going missing and we're not doing anything about it.
One of us should become a sheriff. We can deputize the other one and we can just go fight crime.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool. We'd go somewhere really peaceful though, because I don't want to deal with like junkies or gangs.
Like, so what would you fight? Like littering?
If like someone returns their dog to an animal shelter, because that's what happened after COVID, I think that we can neuter them or spay them. Teach them. Spay and neuter your pets. Anyone who's an asshole who returns their dogs, they want them on vacation, which has been happening in the UK a lot. They should be spayed or neutered. Teach them a lesson.
That's really sad.
They don't deserve to reproduce if they're going to be abandoning their puppies to go on vacation. What assholes. There's a reason that we left that damn country.
We need our- That's true. Okay, so according to North American Bigfoot Research, there are at least 1,600 people, approximately, that are missing somewhere in the wilderness in the United States right now. And according to the same organization, most people disappear in the late afternoon or just before occurrences of severe weather, which is interesting. Bodies are often found in previously searched areas and often without clothing or footwear, even when hypothermia has been ruled out.
Interesting. I mean, because I was going to say it's like the date law of past people, but that was hypothermia and avalanche.
Yeah. And like, as we talked about in the date law of past thing, when people have hypothermia, a reaction that they have is to take all of their clothes off.
Yeah. Just strip down and get nude. Maybe they're all nudists that go missing.
Maybe.
We don't know. Maybe they're all stripping down to go hike.
And then it also said that children are often found at places that are improbably far distances for them to have walked. But children, they probably just got stolen, which is sad.
That is pretty sad. Wait, so you know like their feral children get raised by wolves? Has there been an uptick in stolen children being raised by wolves now that the wolves are back in Yellowstone?
Well, Steve, you're jumping the gun a little bit. Because one of the explanations for these missing people are that some people believe, quote unquote, feral tribes of people that live in the national parks.
That would be interesting. So I said, be cool to be raised by wolves. No, it wouldn't, because then you'd have no social skills and you would be really uncomfortable in society.
Well, yeah. And like, if you are truly feral, once you reach a certain point, you don't have the capacity to learn language or like empathy. You just become like an animal.
Let's say you got lost in the national park, you got raised by one creature. What do you want it to be? And you're in Yellowstone. It can be deer, caribou, bear.
And it has to be something that's like in the national park.
Let's say specifically Yellowstone. Pronghorn.
I like bears.
Except like a male bear might maul you because it thinks that you're a baby.
Well, bear? I thought, yeah, if we're like actually being raised by it and not being like killed by it, bears.
Yeah, I think bears are the way to go also because you're the most balanced diet. So It's not like a wolf where you're only eating meat or like a caribou or something. Also, wolves can move so much fast. I mean, bears are really, really, really fast. But I feel like bears are easier to keep up with than a pack of wolves.
Yeah, you would just get so left behind.
It'd be really funny if, what are they called? Not impala. You know, like the pronghorns?
No.
There's like the little deer that are incredibly fast because they evolved a long time ago to be able to outrun cheetahs, but there are no cheetahs in America anymore. So now they're just obscenely fast for no reason.
Interesting.
It's tough to be raised by those because you get left in the dust because they can go like 85 miles an hour.
I would want to be raised by like a goat or something.
Ooh, like a bighorn sheep.
Have you seen, there's like a Vice video of a guy who like goes to live with goats and he gets himself these like little prosthetic things that he can walk on so he can walk on all fours and lives with the goats for a few weeks.
No, that guy's a lunatic.
It's just such a classic Vice documentary dumb thing.
I can't believe that's real. It sounds like something Documentary Now would do to make fun of Vice.
Yes, exactly.
That's ridiculous. All right, back to your story.
Okay, So this is the same Bigfoot Research Center. So the head guy, I actually didn't write down his name, but I should have. So he said, "I don't think there's a grand conspiracy to keep the numbers hidden, but the National Park Service certainly doesn't advertise that there are dozens of still missing visitors in the Grand Canyon or Yosemite, and a county sheriff isn't going to put a missing person on his reelection poster." So just food for thought.
That also means that when we are hunting for Bigfoot with Michael, maybe we got to steer clear of Yellowstone.
He said Yosemite specifically.
Okay, Yosemite.
But it's like all these places that I've been to are the places of the Sasquatch thing where all these gangs are running wild, and now Yosemite, everybody's going missing.
I've been to Yosemite and Yellowstone, but I was a little kid and I was not venturing off very far.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go into great detail of these missing people because it's just kind of sad.
Also, that's not what we do on this show.
Exactly, but I think it's important to the story. So the biggest conspiracy place that a lot of these stories come from are the Smoky Mountains. So there are three big disappearances, and the most well-known one is Dennis Martin. He was a six-year-old boy, and on June 4th, 1969, he and his brother and two other little boys go with their family on a camping trip. So the little boys go and hide in the bushes. They're like out in the woods in the Smoky Mountains. And the little boys go to hide, and their plan was to sneak up on their parents. And the game lasted maybe 2 minutes. The kids went to hide, and then the parents are going to come over and they're going to be like, "Ah, I got you." They're 6 years old. And when the family came over, all the boys jumped out except for Dennis. And Dennis was never seen again.
What? That's so weird.
Isn't that crazy? So
he was stolen. Did he wander off? Their footprints?
So they looked all over for him. They sent out thousands and thousands of people to rescue him. And so this is kind of sad. They found footprints of child's footprints that had one shoe on, one shoe off. Mm-hmm. And they originally thought it was one of the other boys, but a few days later they found Dennis's shoe. And so it was probably his, but they never found his body.
That's awful. Do they think that he's wandered off or what?
There are a lot of theories, but no one really knows. I mean, he had to be walking around. It's not like an animal got him or something.
Were the tracks like leading away from the bushes? Because someone could have hypothetically grabbed him and left him somewhere else.
I don't know. I did not look that much into it because it was sad.
I just feel like it's really hard to explain. That's so weird.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. And actually, one of the other sad parts about it is they were really criticized for how they implemented the search because they just put out a ton of people. And they ultimately were like, "We just walked over his tracks," pretty much. All of the evidence that they would have had, they kind of trampled over with people who weren't experienced, didn't know what to look for.
Well, I understand. Why wouldn't they just get like one bloodhound?
I don't know.
We've been tracking.
I mean, but it's so big. The area that they're searching is so big.
No, I know, but like we can get like a team of bloodhounds because the thing is the bloodhounds will find his scent and the scent is there for like a day or two that they can track. So I just feel like if you had a bloodhound, it could have cut down the search radius a lot. Unless he went into the water, it would be fine.
Well, and here's an interesting one. So another story with kind of interesting search tactic. So this was in the Adirondacks. So there's this 8-year-old boy who vanished from his family's summer home on July 10th, 1971. His name is Douglas Legg, and he was going for a hike with his family when his uncle told him to go back to the house and put his pants on so he wouldn't get poison ivy. And just in that short walk back to the cabin, he was never seen again. And they spent a ton of time up at this house, so it's not like he would have really gotten lost or anything. Mm-hmm. And they had 600 rescuers, Air Force planes. And what they did was they used this like thermal image scanning. They try to get people's body heat and they couldn't find anything.
Like not even animals?
No, they couldn't find him. So that goes into one of the strange theories that I have.
All right.
That I found. So do you know anything about Hollow Earth?
I'm sort of familiar with the theory. Our good friend Kian from Wide Atlantic Weird actually covered this on his podcast. I sort of know it. There's like the hollow earth theory that the earth's actually like hollow and have like a molten core, and there's like creatures that live down there.
Yes. So I'm not going to go dive into the theory itself that much because I think that's something for a completely separate episode.
Oh, definitely.
But you got that exactly right. So the theory is there's entrances to these deep cave systems. And if you go way, 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 way far down, some people say 800 feet down, then you will emerge at this utopia that exists inside the earth. It has its own sun, so it has its own climate and ecosystem. The trees are thousands of feet tall. Humans are 15 feet tall, and animals are much larger than they are on Earth. The theory is the climate is just so perfect down there and whatever.
A lot of oxygen.
Not really, though.
Well, that's how dinosaurs got so big, but...
Yeah, but inside the Earth?
So what I want to know is, do hollow earthers and flat earthers get into fist fights over this stuff?
Dude, I was thinking about that. If there's two sides of the spectrum, it's flat Earth and hollow Earth.
Are there any modern hollow earthers? I know hollow Earth is a really, really, really old... It goes back to ancient Greece.
Yes, Steve, there are people that believe that this is why people are going missing in national parks. Legitimately, this is their running theory.
Oh, interesting. I know there's a whole like mythos about it, and it's like part of ancient mythology. I had no idea people actually...
Yes. So that's how this all ties back together is... Now I'm rolling on my sleeves.
We're getting down and dirty.
Getting down and dirty. Maybe I'll pull it up. My computer's been really shitty today, so I don't know if I'll be able to, but there are these... two maps that people use to prove this theory. And the top map is where all of the deep cave systems are in the United States. And the other is a dot map of every missing person that's gone missing in the United States over the past year. And if you lay those maps over each other, they're pretty close. So the places where people have gone missing are where these deep caves are.
There are deep caves in the Adirondacks?
Yeah, I guess so. Not like 800 feet.
I knew that, but I didn't know that they're like deep caves.
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Interesting.
According to this theory, the theory is that these people who go missing, I guess, accidentally fall into or stumble upon the entrances to hollow earth and walk down into a cave, get sucked down in there, and now they're inside the earth.
Interesting. I know in King Kong and the new ones, they have hollow earth and Kong has to fight like monsters and shit. Only I don't know how accurate it is because like you don't watch those movies for the story, you watch it for like King Kong fighting monsters.
Yeah.
It's actually a detriment to the film. It should just be like 30 minutes of that and then you're done.
I mean, there's a lot of weird theories about hollow earth. Some people believe that, of course, someone out there has got to believe that Hitler lives down there.
Yes, Hitler, who's like 110 or whatever now.
The ancient aliens guy, I think it was him. Don't quote me on this, but I think it was him, had this whole thing about how Hitler still lives in a bunker in Antarctica.
Yes, a man who was born in 1889 is still alive, definitely.
Why? What is he doing there? You know, like, why wouldn't he just give up at this point?
Yeah, I know, seriously. Also, how old is he now? Let's see. He was born in 1989.
No, he wasn't.
Sorry, 1889. He would be 132 years old if he were alive in this bunker right now. So no, he's definitely not alive.
For a lot of reasons. Some people believe that God himself lives in hollow earth, which would be cool. Giants, aliens, giant humans.
Wait, hold up. If they live in the middle of the earth, they're not aliens because they're from this planet. So that's a stupid statement that whoever believes that said.
Apparently, they have flying saucer technology. So
that doesn't mean they're aliens. It means that they have flying saucers and are from the center of the earth.
So
I'm accusing them of being idiots.
I know. Some of this, are you just literally pulling this out of your ass? At least aliens, you could kind of think that you saw something in the sky, but Hollow Earth, what are you basing this on?
Absolutely nothing. It's all ridiculous.
Anyways, I think that I will at some point do a whole episode on Hollow Earth. I thought it was a really interesting connection to these missing person cases.
Does
And
anyone
then
think that they're like weird government experiments?
for why they go missing?
Yeah.
I didn't come across those, but I wouldn't be
That
surprised.
was like my first thought is running on a conspiracy route, like some weird MK Ultra shit, like abducting people in the parks, making them do experiments on them.
And then, as I mentioned, one of the other theories is the feral people theories, which I will say now, a lot of people feel is controversial and they feel like it's kind of, what's the word?
Racist.
Yes, towards Native American people. But the theory is not that there are Native American people in the national parks that are
It's like people
snatching
that were
people
raised by
up.
wolves.
It's tribes of people that have literally never been connected to society before. So then when they see a person from our society, they are afraid that they're encroaching on their tribe and attack them and kill them. I also saw a few stories on TikTok of people who found footprints that are very similar to early humanoid footprints. That would mean when humans branched off, our species branched off, there were some other humanoids that are still out there existing who never died off, which, who
We
knows?
probably know about them by now.
Yeah. These TikToks, and I'm using TikTok as my source right now, so take this how you will.
With the biggest grain of salt on the planet.
Exactly. But these TikToks were claiming that the park rangers and the sheriffs know about this, but what are they going to do about it? Because they can't commit genocide against these people.
Not really the same people as us, though, because they're technically different species.
Yeah, but I mean, they could. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but that's the theory, which I think is interesting.
You know what another thought is? I can't find the name of them right now. I was trying to do it while you're talking about that. But there is Native American folklore in I remember I almost did something about this, but found Ludwig instead and went the vampire angle like 2 weeks ago, which is a really fun episode. You should check out if you haven't yet. There is this folklore about these like dwarf people in the Adirondacks. I have no recollection if they're like mischievous or not, but if they are, maybe that's what stole the boy.
Maybe.
And remember how, like, when you did the Bennington Triangle story, how the local people wouldn't go to Bennington because they thought it was cursed and there's like that rock that sucks you in? Maybe there's more stuff like that in these parks which I don't know about.
I mean, maybe. And like the crazy thing about national parks is that there's so much unexplored woods that exists beyond the trails. That's where people really fuck up, is if they go off the trails and not only do they get lost, but like you have literally no idea what kind of animals are out there. That's the moral of the story, is don't go off the fucking trails. Don't be an
Yeah, no,
idiot.
it's not safe. There are the trails for a reason.
Those were the two big theories. I mean, some of the other ones were people getting lost or getting abducted, which I didn't think were very fun.
What about aliens? No aliens?
Did not see a lot of aliens, actually.
I'm gonna go completely baseless without knowing anything. Definitely aliens. You know, come down, right? They're causing the severe weather. You said that they disappear right before severe weather. They're probably like in a stupid place and get crushed by like a landslide and never seen again. Because if you look at thermal and you're covered in mud, you're never going to see heat.
Well, you know what else causes severe weather?
Thunderbird?
The Thunderbird.
Thunderbird!
Thunderbird coming back.
Well, that's how the Thunderbird reproduces. It needs to have sex so you can make the Thunderbird human babies.
No.
The Thunderbirds like marry people. You told me this. They marry their
Oh,
babies.
yes.
And they make.
And there's a race of Thunderbird human people.
Maybe the population's gotten so out of control at this point, Emmy, that they need to abduct 100 people a year to reproduce.
Yeah, and maybe if these people aren't even missing, they're just have some kind of love affair with a
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird.
Maybe.
Not the children, but
Hey, it's time to call Lacey Noonan. We have a new book for her to write.
what
After the
would it be
third
called?
Okay, so let's see. We have a
Thunder,
grand
my
tour.
bird.
Yeah. Well, that has to be two.
What do you mean?
She writes sequels. She writes one book, two book. It has to be two books. She has sequels.
So it's
A Thunder in My Park.
I like that. Thunder in My Pants.
Is there any sexual innuendo with the word bird?
Bird. I don't think so.
I can't think of any.
My flaps. There's a thunder flap. Something there. There's something there.
Someone else will come up with that for us. Could be Bigfoot. Maybe the squonk's a fierce predator out in the national parks.
Squonk is a lame-o, though.
I don't know. What if the squonk's secretly like an apex predator?
I mean, it could be. I wouldn't put anything past him.
All right. Do you have any more for us, or do you want to move on to Sasquatch episode 2?
Let's do Sasquatch. So my notes are absolute trash.
Mine kind of are too, because there wasn't a lot of Bigfoot stuff.
Yeah. It started out really hot, though.
Yeah, it started out really hot, and then it almost felt like they needed to put some Bigfoot in.
Yeah.
Before we start, I kind of felt like this episode didn't need to happen. I felt like they could have gone from episode 1 to episode 3. I haven't seen episode 3 yet, but I have a feeling that they could have just turned episode 1, episode 3 into a single documentary and didn't need to be 3 episodes.
I thought there was 4 episodes, are there not?
Currently there are 3. I don't know if there's a 4th that's coming out or something.
Oh, okay, okay.
Right now, I just kind of feel like 1 and 2 could have been one documentary instead of a 3-parter.
Yeah, and it kind of reiterated a lot of the same things. I didn't feel like there was really a narrative of this episode. Did you feel like that?
No, not at all. So basically, the start of it was we got ourselves a Sasquatch hoaxer. It was this guy who claimed to wear the Sasquatch suit. He had the Sasquatch costume head. The problem was, though, he's a short guy.
Well, it was from like that OG video that Bob Gimlin took. The Bigfoot video that everyone's seen.
Speaking of which, let's see if Bob Gimlin ever responded to our request to interview him. Nope.
Lame. Maybe we can interview the guy who was in the suit.
We'll be like, hey, Bob Gimlin's too much of a coward to come on Misfits and Mysteries. How about you come on the show and trash talk him?
I'm down for that. This guy, it was almost too perfect that he like had the head in like a perfectly encased bag in his garage.
Yeah.
60 years ago, and it was in really good shape and also wasn't really the right color.
No, it was black.
In the video, it's brown.
Yeah. Also, I feel like this is some sort of neighborhood feud that we don't know about.
Because they just happen to live across the street from each other.
Like, Bob hasn't, like, returned his, like, leaf blower yet and probably claims that he never borrowed it. And there's a lot of animosity. So, like, I'm going to tell everyone your video is a hoax.
I think the other guy's name is also Bob, isn't it?
I didn't write his name down, but I think it might be.
I wrote down Bib Hermonis, so I'm guessing that's Bob.
I hope his name was Bib.
I feel like we would have remembered Bib.
Yeah, I think Bib would be memorable. Like, Bobo!
Bobo! But yeah, so Bob, like, they're probably like, there can only be one Bob in the neighborhood.
I guarantee if we do some investigative journalism, we'll find out that Bob Gimlin borrowed something, like a tool from him, and then just is like, I never borrowed that. And there's just this, like, neighborhood animosity. Or it's something like, oh, you know, your fence is technically 2¾ meters tall. It's only supposed to be 2½.
He probably like
HOA.
He probably like let his dog shit on his lawn once or something.
Yeah, he just like holds a grudge forever.
So anyways, I thought that was like a really hot start to the episode. And I was like, shit, like this is going to be good.
I know. And then they just didn't really talk about Bigfoot the rest of the time. They did talk about a theory. I didn't really take any notes until the guy said something about feral humans.
Yeah.
About people going feral there, like both junkies and non-junkies. And the thing that's interesting he said is a lot of the people and the stories that guy heard about seeing Bigfoot in that area, a lot of it is very similar to like the feeling that you don't belong there.
Mm-hmm. And
something's going to get you. So it's interesting. I will say, though, what kind of throws a wrench in the whole Bigfoot thing is when he found out that the people who reported seeing Bigfoot were on meth.
Yeah, that really threw a wrench in it. And then
the Hell's Angels farm where they were killed.
Yeah, and then he, like, met up with this guy, and like it was like a bar called Boomers, and he was just sitting in his car, and then they like were showing a video of him, and he was just using the N-word and being a total racist asshole.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of just like, oh, maybe they were just racist this whole time.
Yeah. And it's like fine. I just feel like nothing happened.
Yeah, I agree. It was a lot about the guy himself, like the journalist himself.
Which I wasn't interested in. I'm interested in Bigfoot murdering three Mexican nationals on a weed farm.
It is an interesting story.
Oh, it's a very interesting story. I'm very excited to see how it turns out. But lack of Bigfoot content, especially last episode, 2 weeks ago, because we didn't do it with Michael because it was too long of an episode if we did that. There was so much Bigfoot stuff in there that I thought it was going to be a bigger element of it. Like, sure, they moved away from it because it definitely was the Hell's Angels and not Bigfoot.
Well, the thing is, the show is called Sasquatch. You know, like,
there's no way that Bigfoot ripped these people apart on a Hell's Angels farm. And they're clearly racist people who are running it.
Exactly. And then it's just like, well, they're just like using the word Sasquatch for clickbait at this point.
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of fucked up.
I enjoy the show.
No, I do. It's a good true crime. I just feel like it's
a little bit of false advertising.
I also feel like if something actually happened this episode, I'd be more to talk about, you know. I feel like this week is kind of is reiterating what happened last week, and then it was like 35 minutes long. So they like introduce some like new cliffhanger thing at the end. It's like, well, that's exciting. I want to watch the next episode. But you know, it'd be a better episode. Cutting all the fat off and making the last 10 minutes the entire episode, plus whatever is in episode 3.
They're just trying to get as much content out of it as they can.
That's the problem with documentaries nowadays, is sometimes you see it and you get like a 12-part series and you're like, okay, this could have been 1 hour.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with docu-series. Like,
yeah, docu-series. But the thing is, a lot of documentaries are now going the docu-series route because they make more money that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still a sucker for a good documentary.
I like a single sitting documentary, though, if I have the option.
I just don't really have the attention span for it. That's why I like docuseries, I think.
I guess. I don't know. I like a hour-long documentary.
Yeah.
If it takes more than an hour to tell a story, the story's not worth telling.
That's not true, but...
That's how I feel about movies. If it's longer than an hour and 30 minutes, it's not worth watching.
How do you feel about Avatar?
We talked about this. It's garbage. It's just Pocahontas with blue people, and they use their hair to fuck, and they also use their hair to like connect with their animals, which means that they're fucking their animals.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of like a cinematic accomplishment than anything else.
Yeah, I know. The story is garbage. Also, like, James Cameron wants to make like 80 of these. Who cares? Like, at this point, no one likes 3D anymore, and CGI isn't impressive. It's going to be a shitty CGI 3D movie that no one's going to want to see.
And especially nowadays that no one's going to the theaters, what is 3D going to do if you're sitting at home?
It's dumb. I think it's a terrible idea. I did not like the first one that much.
Did you have anything else to say about Sasquatch? I really don't have that much.
Honestly, not that much this week. Yeah, well, you should still check it out. It's still interesting, but this week wasn't great. But we'll be back next week with the third and, I believe, final episode.
All right.
So, want to read a review?
Good idea. Wow, I just typed in Misfits and Mysteries, and it autofilled to Founders.
Ooh, what's it say?
Nothing. But, like... That must have been something that someone Googled as Misfits and Mysteries Founders.
That's exciting. That people are
too bad you won't find out anything about us.
Yep. Definitely not. Not until maybe we go Bigfoot hunting and then we sell the documentary we make to Discovery Channel or Trillionaires.
Steve, do you think people think we're siblings? Because on here it says your name is Steve Misfits and mine is Emmy Misfits.
Maybe, but do they think our last names are Misfits?
I don't know.
Well, yes, my name is Steve Misfits and your last name is Emmy Mysteries.
I mean, if our last name was Misfits, this would be like a fantastic name.
Oh, I know. Imagine though, if your last name was Mystery, that'd be sick.
That would be a sick name. What would your first name be though? I feel like you'd have to be something cool, like Ocean Mystery.
No, I feel like you get so bullied.
People be like, okay, Kraken.
You can be Karen Mystery.
Oh, God, no.
John Mystery.
Dolphin Mystery.
Dolphin Mystery. Mario Mystery. Luigi.
Ouija Mystery.
Ouija Mystery, yeah.
Ouija Mystery.
Franklin.
Franklin Mystery.
Yeah, do you have
the more we talk about it, the more I don't like it, actually.
No, I hate it more and more, actually, as well.
Okay, so I have a review.
All right, I'm ready.
I'm going to read a review from our friend Brian Weaver from GhostQuest.net. Brian says, 5 stars. I love these guys. Emmy and Steve are both hilarious and knowledgeable on a range of topics, all of which I happen to love. Keep up the awesome work, guys. Smiley face.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate your work as well.
I love how Brian types. He uses so many exclamation points and emojis.
It's really nice.
It just makes you feel like happy inside. Like, oh my God, he's like actually really excited to speak with me.
Everyone's got to go follow him. He's just ghostquest.net on Twitter or at ghostquest on Twitter. ghostquest_USA on Twitter. Buy his books. He's a great dude. Support him. He was our first ever guest. He's an incredible guy. You got to go support our friend Brian Weaver.
Yeah, we just met him through Twitter and now he's
our friend.
A homie. So
yeah, you got to purchase his books 10 times each. If you're a real misfit, you'll purchase all of his books 10 times.
Yes. All right, guys. Well,
thank you so much for listening. And
thanks,
next
guys. Week, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. But seriously, rate, review, and subscribe. I guess a rate, review, and subscribe. Give us a 5-star review or you're canceled. Hashtag canceled.
Hashtag canceled. If you give us a 1-star review, we'll probably egg your house or something. Yeah, we will throw you into the hollow earth.
That's a promise, not a threat.
No people in hollow earth, so.
Yeah, exactly. We know someone who knows about hollow earth, so I think that we're in pretty good shape. Also subscribe on your whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. Also helps with the algorithm. Remember, next we're going to have a dino-tastic episode with Nazir Ibrahim, the world-renowned paleontologist. I'll be talking about Chessie, the Chesapeake Bay version of the Loch Ness Monster, and Emmy will be talking about something.
Some mystery topic.
Yeah.
So find us on our website, misfitsandmysteries.com. That's where you can find the blogs. You can find the newsletter.
Fan art. Send us your art.
And everything else, Misfits and Mysteries. You can find our merch there. And then also remember to check us out on social at podcast_misfits on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on YouTube and Facebook and everything else.
Precisely. Yeah. So thanks for listening.
Stay spooky, guys.
Bye.
Bye.